Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Market Bites. I'm Sam.
And I'm Josh.
And we're here to break down three of the hottest financial events that happened this week, so you can keep your finger on the pulse on your way to work, at the gym, wherever and whenever you have time to get updated.
Please remember that this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. Stay tuned for additional disclosures at the end of today's episode.
So, are you ready?
Here we go.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Market Bites brought to you by eToro. Please do remember to like, share, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Drop a comment as well if you have any questions or thoughts. I'm joined today by Neza Mulk. Neza, how are you?
I'm good. It's the busy season, so it's been busy. How are you? I saw that your favorite team won a big game yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm very good. I'm very good. It's funny because if we had lost, I'd have been in such a bad mood. But Arsenal beat Chelsea yesterday. Massive game for Arsenal at the top of the table. Fingers crossed we can go all the way. If any Chelsea fans are listening to this, I'm very, very sorry. Always good. But as you said, it's a busy time, isn't it, with earnings? It seems like this week and next week are the real busy ones, doesn't it? Does it feel like that for you as well?
Yeah, it does. It does. Every day, it's so many new news coming in, so many earnings reports. Volatility is high, and it's hard to keep up with everything. But it is also very exciting to hear from all the companies.
Yeah, it is. It is. And actually, one of our subjects today, we're going to talk about. You know, people have probably seen the headlines about the possibility of 24/7 trading. Obviously, crypto already does it. But in the financial world. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, whether that's a good thing or bad thing. But I'd be really interested to know what our audience thinks, whether that is a good thing or a bad thing. The other topics we're going to talk about, I mean, we could have literally chosen any of these big companies reporting this week, but we'll talk about Tesla, which reported last night. So you're going to focus on that. And then I'll have a little look at Meta, which report Wednesday. But regardless for when people listen to this, you can look back and see what the important parts were of each earnings report and how you can take that going forward. Why did you choose Tesla?
I think Tesla was one of the companies that their report was really one of the most anticipated this week. And 2024 wasn't the best year for the company so far. Just a week ago, they announced more layoffs. And actually, the report that was released yesterday, so Tuesday after the market, was not that great, but stock price surged after it was released. That's why I decided to dive into the key numbers they delivered and the reasons that pushed the stock price higher. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a surprise you've chosen Tesla. It's such a popular stock with retail investors and an important earnings report. It actually felt really important heading into this one. So it'd be interesting to see your thoughts about that release. As you mentioned, went up in post-market trade or pre-market trade, depending whichever way you look at it. I've gone for Meta, as I said. I mean, up 30% year to date. So different to Tesla, which I think was down like 40-odd% or something. They report after the market close on Wednesday. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that they were 80% lower after their peak in August 2021. And since then, it's rallied, you know, 500% or something crazy like that up to new all-time highs. So after such a strong resurgence, earnings, they're going to have to be pretty good. Or investors may say, look, this has gone as far as it can for now. Maybe I'm going to put my money elsewhere. I'm going to allocate capital elsewhere. So I'll discuss what people might focus on from that report. And then, as I said, our last subject is going to be about whether 24/7 trading would be a good or bad thing, or maybe somewhere in between. But I really want to stress for anyone listening to this or watching this, let us know your comments. Neza, I guess before we get to that, we can talk about Tesla. I mean, what did the market expect heading into it? And then also what was delivered?
Actually, before they reported these earnings, market expectations were quite mixed. Investor sentiment has been on this downward trend for quite some time due to several factors that include disappointing last quarter results, weak delivery guidance for 2024. Then we had price cuts due to increasing competition and even missed first quarter delivery estimates. So all of that pushed this sentiment lower. The company stock has taken a significant hit, as you already mentioned. It dropped by about 40% year to date before earnings came in. And that actually made them the second worst performer among all S&P 500 companies. So ahead of the report, market was the most concerned about Tesla's vehicle demand due to fewer sales in the first quarter. And they were worried that that might lead to more potential price cuts. Investors were also curious about potential new Model 2 that might be cheaper and about updates on staff cuts. And now if we take a look at those key numbers, analysts projected that Tesla will report adjusted earnings per share of $0.5 on revenue of $22 billion. Mm-hmm. And at the end, Tesla did not meet those expectations. They actually reported revenue that was $1 billion lower than anticipated. And this revenue drop was the biggest since 2012. Wow. Earnings per share were also lower at $0.41. And this is not all. Drop in sales was even steeper than the company's last decline in 2020, which was done by due to this pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And even if we take a look at the guidance, it was pretty pessimistic. They said that volume growth rate might be notably lower than growth rate achieved in 2023. However, even if they missed all of those expectations, Tesla stock price surged more than 13% in aftermarket. So it was quite a surprise for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think this channel is great and what eToro do is great with the academy stuff. And whenever I do a course, I start by saying there's no such thing as a stupid question, right? And I think there's going to be people out there that will be like, well, hang on, with all these numbers that came out, it in theory, on the face of it, it looks like a bad report. Why the positive reaction?
Yeah, I don't think that that's a stupid question at all. No. It's a logical question after these results and this reaction. Because if you take a look at the numbers, you definitely wouldn't expect that reaction. But obviously, market was not focusing on this quarter. They were they were mostly focusing on the future projections. And one of the main reasons behind this rise was this announcement that they will speed up the release of newer, more affordable models. Elon Musk mentioned that new vehicle timelines might be around early 2025 or maybe even later this year. So they really speed things up. He said that new models will be made on same production lines than Tesla current vehicles. That's also very important information because this might help calm down worries from investors that this could take costs higher and about the timeline. But Tesla didn't specify when these new vehicles will be introduced. However, Musk mentioned that they will provide more information about them in August when Robotaxi will be unveiled. When speaking about Robotaxis, that was also like important news. Musk explained the plan. Tesla will operate some of the cars in the fleet, while others will be owned by users who can rent them out and Tesla taking commission. He actually said that it's like a mix of Airbnb and Uber. So that's quite an interesting plan. There were also questions about regulation, but he said that he believes that as long as autonomous cars prove safer, there shouldn't be any major barriers to enter the market. So overall, price cuts and cheaper models seem to restore hopes for investors that are looking for opportunities in Tesla.
Yeah, really interesting one. And I think a great lesson actually for newer investors just to wait for the full picture. When you have an earnings report, you know, you don't need to jump in straight away. Wait for it to be digested before you invest. Excuse the pun. But yeah, it would be interesting to see how we finish the day, finish the week as well. Is this 10, 13, 14% move going to last, or is it going to come a little bit lower? I discussed the chart anyway on Trader Talks, which can be found on YouTube. So do check that out. But an interesting reaction. I mean, I was definitely in the camp when I saw the initial figures, and then I checked the after-hour share price and it was up 10%. I was like, have I misread something? But like you said, it's focusing on those price cuts and the cheaper models. And listen, the market's going with that.
Yeah, I was also personally very surprised, but it takes time for investors to digest all information we got and to really to gain this reaction to earnings. But so far it looks positive, but we will see what will happen in following days. How will investors digest all of that in like midterm? But speaking of earnings, there's more important earnings coming in this week. And you said that you are focusing on Meta on this episode. What do you think that what investors should keep an eye on when reviewing their report? Because it's also one of the major ones this week.
Yeah, big, big company. And I think it's going to be really interesting because, as I mentioned at the beginning, there will be investors that, you know, have been in for a number of years, ridden the 80% move down and then the 500% move up. There'll be investors that, you know, saw value, you know, 18 months ago and hopefully have taken a lot of profit, but maybe are still in it. So it's a really interesting point where you say, well, for me to keep holding this, this report does need to be good. So what do I think the majority of investors are going to focus on? Well, I think they'll be looking to see if Meta can sustain its growth trajectory and user engagement across its platform, particularly Facebook and Instagram. You know, with these platforms reaching maturity, we need to ask the question, can Meta maintain its impressive gains in user activity, which have been driving solid growth and ad sales volume? Of particular interest is whether the firm can uphold ad pricing, especially considering the moderation in average ad pricing decline seen in the latter half of last year. I think investors also are keen to assess the effectiveness of Meta's investments in ad technology, including AI, and how they have contributed to advertiser returns on ad spending. Financially, Meta appears pretty good. I mean, to be up 500% from the low, you've got to be. It's got a strong balance sheet, $47 billion in net cash and substantial increase in operational cash generation, I think is $71 billion in 2023. Despite, though, the elevated capital investment, capital spending decreased last year, leading to a significant rise in free cash flow to $44 billion. So again, keep an eye on those numbers. The declaration of a quarterly dividend of 0.50 per share earlier this year from the quarter four report indicates the company's confidence in its financial position. I think that helped shares continue to rise following that report. However, Meta's plans for share repurchases and acquisitions may be constrained by ongoing FTC antitrust oversight. I think it's an important report. I'm sure investors feel the same, but those would be areas for now that I would focus on from a number point of view anyway.
Yeah, their growth has been really tremendous. Can you even remember in October 2022, stock was trading below 100?
Crazy.
Yeah, it's up by, you said about more than 500% or so?
Yeah, from that low. I mean, obviously, if you time the absolute bottom, you're a genius, and rode it to the absolute top, you're even more of a genius. But it does go to show, doesn't it, that these big, big companies, if you are patient and wait for your area where you deem there to be value, you can be rewarded. But you do need patience. And sometimes if price isn't near your level, you just got to say, fine, I'm not interested. And it's a story where, you know, investors are, you know, have been very well rewarded, haven't they?
True. And you also have to recognize value when price is so low and when market really doesn't like the company. But all of that sounds great. I mean, they have great financials, expectations are high, but what are the potential risks they have right now or in the near future?
I think that's, you've got to consider that. To keep that strong run going, which they have had, you've got to control those risks. The potential for disruptive technologies like your TikToks, for example, they might divert user attention, coupled with regulatory scrutiny on data privacy and usage. They you know, pose challenges for Meta. Additionally, Meta's heavy reliance on online advertising exposes it to downturns in ad spending, which could occur during any potential economic sort of downturns and recessions. So I think, you know, investors will be keeping a close eye on how Meta addresses these risks and navigates potential regulatory hurdles in its pursuit for this sustained growth, which, you know, we've seen over the last 18 months or so. And it really has been an incredible run. I think, you know, and I'm not, you know, just trying to think from both angles here, if the report wasn't amazing or wasn't as good enough for us to push higher, I think there will be people looking for a bit of value in this stock, which of course is, you know, I think, seventh biggest in the world by market cap. And they would say, if price does come lower, I think you would have some dip buyers interested around $385, which is the previous all-time high we had from 2021. That would be a roughly a 20% move or lower from where we currently trade. So that's a big move. And I'm not saying that happens in one day. It might be if we don't get a great report, we gradually come back lower. We hit that previous all-time high and people say, you know what? I don't mind it here. And I think that would be how people look at it. If we do get a good report, or investors like the report, I should say, I don't really think much stops us from trading back above $500 again and then going to that all-time high. So yeah, it's finally set. I mean, the last sort of couple of weeks hasn't done too much. If anything, it's just drifted a little bit lower. But you've seen with the Tesla report, have a bit of patience, see what happens post-market. You don't need to jump straight back in. But yeah, it's finally set.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if we see a pullback, that would be actually a good news for everyone who is looking for a dip to enter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, you mentioned TikTok, and just yesterday I saw the news that US Congress finalized this legislation that could lead to TikTok ban. And now it's on Joe Biden's desk. If he signs it, and he's expected to do so, TikTok would be forced to find a new owner within 9 months. I bet it won't finalize in 9 months, but it is a big news for one of their main competitors.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, you know, I remember in 2020, the pandemic, there was a lot of talk when Trump was in charge about we need to ban TikTok, this, that, and the other. So if that does happen, you've got to imagine that's a bit of a positive, isn't it, for Meta?
Yeah.
If the can gets kicked down the road and something sorted, less so. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I can spend 30, 40 minutes on TikTok just scrolling. And if you ask me, what was the last? But honestly, if you said to me, what was the last three videos you watched? I'd be like, no idea. Same. It's crazy how much just sort of time it can waste, isn't it?
So many time and our attention span got so much like shorter with TikTok. We got used to getting new information every 2 seconds. So it's not so good for us, but it's so addictive, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about our final subject. I think the FT ran it on Monday about the New York Stock Exchange had been asking clients about 24/7 trading. What are your initial thoughts on this, Neja? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Somewhere in between? What was the, when you read the headline before you even looked into it, what did you think?
I tried to find positive and negative sides of that. So I think that I'm somewhere in between. Right after it was released, I tried to ask people on my social media what they think about it. I saw that you did the same.
Yeah.
And most of them reacted positive to the news. They want to see all around market all the time. The only reason I got that it's not such a good idea is from people that they need time off. They don't want to think about stocks all the time. They need those weekends free to spend time with friends and family. But I think that it is kind of a big deal to make this change, isn't it?
You'd imagine there would have to be demand for this, for them even to consider it. And, you know, like you said, you asked people on social media what they thought. And I've got a few responses here and I'll go through them. No thanks. The weekends are blessed not thinking about markets. I thought that was a good one. Someone else, you need to allow it. It's a must. I think it will be a positive. Someone else, a bit of a jokey one here. I'm already losing enough money during 24/7 crypto hours. Someone else, human traders will lose jobs. AI bots will trade 24/7. someone else. I do think currency markets should be 24/7. Not sure about others, although waiting for markets to open and having to deal with price gapping sucks. So if 24/7 resolves it, I'm all for it. And another one here is a pro. It's better for leveraged traders to avoid opening gaps higher or lower, and then therefore they get liquidated. Better for all brokers too, to decrease customer support tickets, as people don't understand this. Some other pros and cons. Neja, let me know your thoughts on this. The reduced gaps, I guess that is a positive. Enhanced liquidity, adaptation to modern lifestyles. In a world where work schedules are becoming more flexible, 24/7 trading accommodates investors who might not be able to participate during traditional market hours. Do you think, I mean, on the face of it, that does sound like a good thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I think it would be also harder for regulators to keep an eye on everything going on if it would be open all the time. And even possibly people don't think about the pressure you get because you have to digest all the news so fast and react to them. I think that we might see more emotional decisions and more kind of mistakes because you have to be fast. But I think that it would still affect more those who are active traders and not investors that much, as when we speak about retail investors and traders, maybe. What do you think? Are you more on the side for that or not?
I was chatting with Ben Laidler yesterday, and we were sort of saying, well, it's inevitable that this is going to happen, and it's almost been happening for a while, hasn't it? You know, you've got futures markets that are, you know, pretty much 24 hours a day anyway, you know. So it feels like it's been coming. And he was saying actually back in the 50s, not saying Ben was alive in the 50s, but you could trade on a Saturday back then. So I think for quite a while you were able to, and then they reeled it back. Yeah, yeah.
But that was only half day trade, wasn't it?
I think we should go 24/7. I guess it's the social side of it, because you do speak to some people in crypto and they're just like at it the whole time. I think from a sort of medium, longer term investor standpoint, it just gives people the opportunity to maybe do it. You know, they don't have to rush after market hours, or, you know, maybe not do it because they haven't got the time. So I think it does open that up. Ben joked as well. It's that, you know, you'd be long farmer. You know, people would be getting ill from trading the whole time, and, you know, all of this. But yeah, I think it's probably a positive overall. And that's not to say there aren't going to be negatives. But yeah, I mean, I guess we look at the negative. I mean, if you were a full-time trader now, and then you had another 2 days, you would probably find it a little bit more stressful, wouldn't you? You'd probably suffer burnout, wouldn't you? I'd imagine, because you're at it the whole time.
It would take some time for people, traders, professional, and so, to adapt to this change. I think that as technology already supports that idea, it can be adapted, but we have to adapt it for all of the risks that are associated with it. And once we would do that, and we would maybe adapt our schedules, we got used to that. It's, as you said, it's inevitable in the future. Probably it won't happen in a year or so, but
somewhere in the future, we're on the path like that, there. How long that will take, I don't know. I think overall it will be a good thing. I think it's great for the retail investor, to be honest. I can't really see it being a negative from that point. But then there are the other factors. You know, if we fast forward to when it has happened and you hear about people are more stressed or they're burnt out, whatever. And then, you know, from a company perspective, you know, do analysts have to then work on the Saturday and Sunday? Is there, you know, more need for those roles? But crypto works, doesn't it? You know, 24/7, it seems inevitable. Pros probably outweigh the cons, but I'd be interested to know what everyone else thinks as well. Neja, as always, thank you very much for joining this week. It's been a busy one. It's going to be a busy one next week, so we'll be back, of course. But thank you very much.
It will.
See you next week, guys.
Thank you, and see you next week.
You have been listening to Digest and Invest by eToro. For more information, use eToro.com. This podcast is for information and education purposes only and should not be taken as investment advice, a personal recommendation, or an offer of or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instruments. This material has been prepared without taking into account any particular recipient's investment objectives or financial situation and has not been prepared in accordance with the legal and regulatory requirements to promote independent research. Past performance is not an indication of future results.